The piece of writing that informed my sermon this week is the Desiderata by Max Ehrmann. Go placidly among the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and the ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenfranchisement, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune, but do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive God to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful. Strive to be happy. Who had a poster of that in the 1970s? Come on. The Desiderata. During this Pride Month in 2026, in the U.S., it is imperative that we be clear with ourselves about what pride means. It is a statement about staying visible so that entire cultures are not disappeared. Any group whose very existence is under fire needs us. Pride is, for sure, about parades and fabulousness, and the whole reason is to be seen, to not forget that queer folks have a rich and meaningful culture with traditions and rites of passage that they are proud of and want to pass on to their children and to future generations. Pride is a time to be seen because somebody needs to see you. Whoever you are, somebody needs to see you so that they can feel that they can go on. You can't be it if you can't see it. Imagine having the powers that be politically, plus the dominant culture, the messages received all day long in every form. Imagine that one of your identities, born with and unchangeable, became a targeted group. Imagine that. You, a left-handed person, wake up and find that anybody left-handed needs to be in a special group that may or may not in the future be rounded up for punishment, deportation, camps. Out of the blue, no explanation. There is some old story about how religious leaders trained left-handedness out of their students, purporting to have won a soul from the devil. But surely some antiquated folktale could not possibly be the basis for current political drama, could it? Another group, women, are finding out how few rights we have that are firmly protected, with plans for further restrictions making news every week. Our current administration is making identities illegal. And that, my friends, is fascism. When an identity that you cannot change, that you were born with, is illegal. I've been giving these sermons for a long time. It's always been as a staunch advocate, ally, and accomplice for people whose basic human rights are being denied. This year, it feels more like a wake-up call for us to understand the real danger our human family is in. Deportation to some country we don't know for a non-existent crime within a sham of a justice system or some other cruel, illegal punishment. These things are really being written about. I'm not a panicky person. I'm telling you, this is real. If you had a room with 100 tables in it, and each one had a spokesperson and a pamphlet explaining why the LGBTQ family is under threat all the time, each one of those tables could have a completely different reason, history, and set of stories. And they would all be right. Reasons to hate other people are as varied as people themselves. But friends, we are here on this beautiful June day in the month of Pride to stir up some glory. Let us move toward love, away from hate. We need to know about it. We don't need to dwell there. Let's celebrate the visibility of people who were seen so that others might follow their own dreams. Today, I will lift up some icons of queer history, some we know and some we don't, to put queer history front and center. In the field of religion, imagine why I would choose that first. I lift up our Baptist cousin, Troy Perry. Now, Baptists and Universalists were in the same tents. They were in those big, what are they called when you?
Revivals.
Thank you, revival tents. All I could think of was refund. They were all in those tents together. Some went and started churches about universal salvation, and some went and started churches about believers' baptism with a fiery God. Troy Perry, on June 28th, today, 1970, Perry, with two friends, Morris Knight and Bob Humphreys, founded Christopher Street West in Los Angeles to hold an annual Pride parade. It is the oldest, longest-running gay pride parade in the world. Having been called since childhood to be a preacher, but being consistently turned away for being gay and out about it, Troy Perry formed the Metropolitan Community Church, MCC. Its first meeting was 12 people in 1968, and now it has 250 churches worldwide. Has anybody ever asked you, You, is that the gay church? You can say, kind of, but MCC really is. Its motto is taken from Troy's autobiography. It is a gay Christian church, by the way. His autobiography, "The Lord is my shepherd and he knows I'm gay." In a time when bars were being raided and people were being arrested for who they are, this man had faith. He knew that a person needs to practice their faith with the God who loves them, even if other houses of worship are denying entrance. Well before marriage was equal, he was performing union ceremonies and non-licensed weddings for same-sex couples in public without apology, for making the circle bigger when the other circles kept leaving people out. We celebrate MCC with pride. With the occasion of the first Pride Parade and the opening of a new type of religious gathering place that does not leave out God's gay children, Reverend Perry showed many people a safer way to live. He modeled and built a place and religion where a young person could understand themselves as beloved when they did not yet know how to exist in the world as themselves. Another part of life that could use less hate toward our queer family is politics. Today, I lift up a few of our pioneering queer politicians, beginning with one who was not allowed to come out. Bayard Rustin, close friend of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He was the main organizer of the 1963 March on Washington, and he lived as an out gay man in the 1960s. For this reason, he kept his political acumen under a barrel, not wanting to have his gayness detract from the civil rights campaign he was championing, because he knew, as we all do, that queerness, or alleged queerness, can be a campaign killer. I almost said something about Pete and Chasten at this point in the sermon. Gotta keep going in a positive manner. Rustin needed the civil rights actions to be successful more than he needed personal freedom to live his life and attain fame for his work. He should not have had to choose. With pride, I uplift Barney Frank, Harvey Milk, Danica Rome, Sarah McBride, and others. Barney Frank was elected to Massachusetts House of Representatives in 1972, and by 1980, he was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. He's won every election after until he retired in 2013. In 1987, he came out as gay willingly, while many gay politicians were being outed against their wishes. So here's Frank in 1987, AIDS crisis happening, education's getting better about it, but there's still a lot of anti-gay hatred in the dominant culture, and he willingly comes out. He also married his husband while in office in 2012 because Massachusetts had equal marriage. From the Washington Post, this was fun to read and think about. The story of Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi getting in trouble for carrying forth the homosexual agenda. Frank responded with, "I do have things I would like to see adopted on behalf of LGBT people. They include the right to marry the individual of our choice, the right to serve in the military to defend our country, and the right to a job based solely on our own qualifications. I acknowledge that this is an agenda, but I do not think that any self-respecting radical in history would have considered advocating people's rights to get married, join the army, and earn a living as a terribly inspiring revolutionary platform." For being out of the closet and trusting constituents enough to not hold this against him, he is an early hero for young people who think about being politically active but worry about being queer. And in this category, I lift up for pride Sarah McBride. She was already serving on the school government as a student at American University in Washington, D.C., when she came out as trans and announced to all of her student politico that she was trans. They were okay with it. She's from Delaware. She had great role models in how to not concern yourself with what your enemy uses against you. Just get the job done. She had these lessons from the Bidens and from Governor Markle. She entered the political arena as a trans woman. Sarah McBride has been through it all. She wrote the book that helped our family, Tomorrow Will Be Different. Eliza came out. We didn't know she was gonna come out. She like marches up in front of church and comes out. I had been told, keep it quiet, Mom. She comes out. The next week, she got three different copies of Tomorrow Will Be Different, the Sarah McBride book. She has served in the Delaware Senate and is currently the first out trans person to serve in U.S. Congress in the House of Representatives. And I can't talk about pride and politics without mentioning Danica Rome. Have y'all heard of her? So I used to live in Loudoun County, right? When I got ordained in Virginia in 2006, there were like 300 people there. It was this huge church, and a big offering got taken, a couple thousand dollars. Half of it went to the UUA, of course, and the other half went to get Bob Marshall out of office in Virginia. He is a vile, hateful man who used to run Loudoun County, Virginia, and he tried to make it as anti-gay and unfriendly as possible. It took until 2018, but eventually, openly trans woman Danica Rome beat him and became the first trans member of a state legislature ever. If you can see it, you can be it. That's the message to little trans girls who are politically minded everywhere from Sarah and Danica. The final area of life I lift up to celebrate, y'all were thinking this would be like entertainers? That's too easy. I'm not saying that they have it easy, but there's too many. So I chose the third area to celebrate queer leaders, sports. It's no accident that all over the nation, youth sports are being used in legislation's anti-trans agendas. Friends, please do whatever faithful reading you need to, or talk to somebody who is trans, or love somebody who is, to understand how dire this situation really is. 53% of Project 2025 has succeeded. They're not going to stop. If this legislation can sell the lies to people about the dangers of trans girls in sports, then all of the other restrictions become easier laws to pass until trans people are erased from existence. Singling out the vulnerable from the herd is the goal. Making sure that the herd includes all types of queerness is how a visible presence saves lives. In the herd of tennis players, Billie Jean King stood out as superior. With many titles to her name, she also has the distinction of coming out while being famous in a sport in 1981. The professional tennis world of the 1960s already dealt with attitudes of women players being paid so much less. This is as she was climbing the ranks. She already knew she was going to be paid less. Women tennis players were chastised for not being feminine enough. And into all of that came Billie Jean King. She did not worry about being looked at as too masculine. At 29, she went ahead and beat 55-year-old male tennis player Bobby Riggs. Now, she was married to a man named Larry King, not that Larry King, when she started working on gender activism with his encouragement. When she realized her own lesbianism, the couple was very public about them dealing with it together and stayed friends after their divorce and subsequent marriages. I lift her up for several reasons. She was early, if not the first, to be her whole self in her public profession of sports, showing young people the possibility. She also celebrated her own life's discoveries, like her own sexuality, as sources of pride, not apology. She lifted up that we get through these hard times better when those who loved us before they knew still keep loving us. Sports are such an important part of life for so many young people, and when famous athletes are positive role models, well, that's pride. Pride festivals, parades, any activity that promotes queerness is a great party, but it's also always a political event. At some point, another stupid law will get proposed, a bathroom bill, a call for review on equal marriage, what have you. And the public will follow their values and opinions. Institutions like schools, sports, the arts, and church shape a person and grows their self-confidence or kills it. We, the queer communities and allies, go to pride events with kids in tow. We need to know who supports local queer organizations and their people so we know where to shop and who to avoid. Hannaford hands out bags at every pride event with rainbows, just to let you know. We need to know who our political reps are and their stands on queer issues. If a kid realizes they're gay while they're in a group or a team, They need visible heroes, and they need support to let them grow into their true selves. And their previously unexposed to gayness straight friends and family need role models too for how to be supportive. Pride events are important because of celebration and because of visibility, making it harder to disappear vulnerable communities. And the last thing I will say about Pride is this: churches like ours can be a haven for people who are LGBTQ and provide guidance and support for the people who love them. Let's keep celebrating Pride as we face obstacles together with our rainbow family. The political hits keep coming, and we have the privilege of being a refuge, a sanctuary, as well as active in promoting our values of being diverse and inclusive. If you can see it, you can be it. Show that pride and encourage others in June and always.